more reason to praise him. He said, well, how can you say that? You don't know what I've been going through. Because I know how it ends. If you know the ending, you end in victory. Come on. You end in victory. Stay with Jesus. He's a king. He's victorious. But you got to stay with him. I got to a place in my life where I'm not going to watch what Jesus wouldn't watch. I'm not going to listen to what Jesus wouldn't listen to and pay for it. You understand what I'm saying? There's something like, I don't need to watch that. That's never helped me in my life. It never did help me. It never took me where I wanted to be with God. If you want God, I mean, there are very few things that are what I call neutral. Very few. But you cannot fill your mind with the filth of the world every day and have what I'm talking about. Not because God's resisting you. You just don't even know when he's there. You become dull of hearing. Your senses are not tuned in to God because he is a presence and he'll walk up into the midst of your praise. What do you do when you're discouraged? You praise him. You shout. You dance. You kick your feet a few times and you say, take that, devil. You thought you could get me with my mind just on my little wretched self. No, I've got my mind on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who delivered me out of your power, by the way, devil. I have been delivered from the power of the devil. Did you know if you're a born-again believer, he delivered you from the power of the devil? Do you know that? If you don't know that, you'll just keep caving in, crying, belly aching about something, when you could be standing your ground. The Bible says, having done all, stand. Yeah, but I've been standing a long time. You're going to get a flat line on that one. God said, do what I told you to do, and then trust me. Trust me now in this. If I will not pour you out a blessing such that you cannot contain it. God is speaking to you. Try me now in this. If I will not pour out a blessing such that you cannot contain it. It's so big. The overflow is so good. That was a word from God for you this morning. Let's say abahasokal. See, your circumstances should not be determining what you believe. How lame is that? That's what the world does. But I know whom I believe. That he is able and willing. It doesn't matter what other people say. I've got it where I don't pay much attention. Whatever. Whatever. It's not going to keep me from anything God called me to do. Not one thing. I think that's where we all have to get, really. It doesn't mean it doesn't affect me. It just doesn't determine what I'm going to do that day, where I'm going, what I'm going to do. It's not going to run my life. The opinions of people are fickle. You can do one thing. Doesn't matter what you've done their whole life. You can do one thing they're offended. They'll walk. They'll just walk. You know why? Because we're so touchy-feely. Everything's just about us and how we feel that day. But did you see how they looked at me? No. Why didn't you just smile back? Why did you decide that there was something against you? Why would you decide something like that about somebody else? Where does that come from? Hell? It comes from hell. Don't y'all love these freebies? God is so eager to bless us, and we miss it a lot of times because we're just not in tune. We're too in tune with our feelings. Did you know your feelings can change? That's a good segue. I'm preaching to you this morning on looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know, I've just really been looking at focusing on Jesus. When I was a kid growing up, we had horses. We had a farm in Mineola, Texas. That's where they were kept. My dad and his brother had horses there, and they lived there. And so I remember several different horses. But I remember them talking about, you know, the rein, the horse's head. The horse won't go anywhere its head won't go. If his head is aimed this way, it's not going to go this way no matter what. It's not. It won't do it. So if you can direct the horse's head, it'll go in the direction. Lila knows this. And it's almost like some people say, well, I'm scared the horse is going to, how do I get it from rolling on me? You control their head is what you do. You have to control their head at all costs, especially if they're pretty lively. Because once you're caught off guard and they take off, you're done. Because you can't get their head back. Because they're stronger than you. But initially, when they go to get up, they're going to throw their head back first. You understand? They're going to throw their head back, and then they're going to get up. But they're going to go in the direction of their head. So you have to control their head. And there are certain things we have to learn to control. We have to control our head. We have to control our eyes. Your mind will go wherever you continue to linger. Whatever in the inner part of you you continue to look at, gaze at, dream about, meditate on, look at, touch, handle, that becomes your focus. You understand what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times the problems that we're having is that we're not controlling our focus. And so then all of a sudden you realize, well, I feel really down today. What did you think about the last 20 minutes? Where's your head been? What were you turning at? What were you looking at? What were you involved in? What were you looking down at? What were you looking up? What were you doing with your head? As a man thinketh, so is he. We are a result of whatever it is. We just keep thinking. Say, well, I just want to change. I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to change me. God's not going to change you. He gave you power to do that. He gave you power to do that. He gave you his word. He told you what to do. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So the word tells you where for your head to go. And when we won't follow the instructions, then why are we surprised at our result? You have to look at Jesus, y'all. You have got to keep Jesus, in your head 24/7. He said, well, you can't do that. You can come really close. And as soon as you feel depressed, as soon as you feel fear, anxiety, any negative emotion whatsoever, you've taken your eyes off Jesus, even if it's just for a few minutes. As soon as those feelings come, you go, nip it, nip it, nip it. Barney Fife was right. Nip it, nip it, nip it. Because if it grows, then you'll get a whole scenario going on in your head about people that you think are against you. And they're not against you. It's just all in your own head because you decided to take something that they said or maybe something they didn't say even and create an offense. Now you're offended. You know, this happens all the time. It shouldn't. It shouldn't be happening with Christian people. But you have to understand people are also at different places in their walk with the Lord. So you walk in love, but if somebody chooses to think you were preaching something and it wasn't love, I can't help that. I'm preaching the Word of God. Hebrews 12, look at this, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author
and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus, he kept the focus. He had to be very, very focused. Because everything pulled at his flesh, everything pulled at his emotions constantly. But he endured all of that. Why? Because he kept his focus correct. He knew why he was here. Do you know why you're still here? See, you need to know why you're here. You were here for the purposes of God. That's why you're on the planet. So do you spend most of your time along those lines of why I'm here? What is my main thrust? What is the main focus of my life while I'm here? Or is it off on something else? Your culture will try to dictate to you what you're supposed to be. Your culture doesn't know, friend. Your culture doesn't know. Any culture. It doesn't know what you're supposed to be. Why? The culture didn't make you. It's trying to make you. It's trying to make you into its own image. We were created in the image of God. We're supposed to be more and more like God. This is why Jesus came and was the example to us. We didn't know how to be like God. God says, I'm going to give you a walking, talking example of who I am. And that was Jesus. So it's not like I'm trying to be anything. I just want to be like Jesus. What does that mean? Well, I don't look like Jesus, so it must mean something else, right? And I'm not wearing long robes everywhere I go. And I bathe every day. There's certain things you're not going to be able to be just like Jesus was. Okay? So it's talking about his character. Words he spoke. He had such good placement of his words. Placement. He knew just the right time to say. And then there's other things where it said he opened not his mouth. While he was being accused, they reviled him. It says he opened not his mouth. He didn't say anything. Why? I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father do. The closest thing that I can relate to this is from a human point of view is there are times when I've seen somebody and I saw that I was supposed to put my hand on their shoulder specifically, or maybe hold their hand or touch them, maybe sometimes on their forehead or something. Where did that come from? I saw it. I saw it before I did it. This is how Jesus operated. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You've had that experience before. If you're a spirit-filled person, you should have been having these experiences. You really should. And so what I'm doing is I'm seeing Jesus. He's in me. See, he's in me now. He's in you if you're born again. So this is how Jesus did it. He just saw what he said, I only do what I see the Father do. So he saw something in the Spirit, and then he got up and he did that. That's what he did. Okay, this is how things move. This is how it happens. And so Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the author. He is the cause that you have this faith, really. It's because of him. And so he is the instructor. He is your instructor. To this day, he's your instructor. And you see his life in ministry. Now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God now, but he's also living in me. How does he do that? Because the three are one. Jesus was God. Father God. Jesus was Father God. He was God in the flesh. What other God are you talking about? Jesus and God. People try to divide these all up all the time, but you can't really separate them. Jesus never had sin. He never sinned. He never looked on a woman to lust after her. Never. Not once. Those were non-thoughts. People today have those thoughts because of sin. We were born into a sin nature that is not like God. And so when you are spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, you pray in tongues, and you get in the Word of God, you begin to see who you're supposed to be. You don't know who you're supposed to be apart from God's Word. You don't know. And you can't get it by just coming to church on a Sunday morning. You literally can't get it this way. It's not enough. It's not enough for everything you're going to be bombarded with all week. Or maybe even later today. Or maybe before you even get out the door, you're going to be bombarded with something. Somebody's mad. Something's this. Something's that. You know, or you saw a text. Oh, my goodness. And so we have to control our head. You have to control. What do you focus on? What do you look at? What really gets under your skin? Well, quit thinking about it so much then. Why give it so much airtime in your life? This is good preaching, and it's the truth, and y'all know it is. It's the truth. Focus. Oxford Languages says, the center of interest or activity is the Word of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So if you say Word, you're saying Jesus too. Is He the center of your interest? Are you more interested in other things than Jesus? Are you more interested in other things than His Word and what He wants to say to you personally? Do you know that when you're in the Word of God, He will literally highlight things for you that you need? A lot of people struggle, and they struggle, and they want prayer after prayer after prayer. You don't get this fixed by prayer. You get this fixed by knowing the truth. And the truth you know is what sets you free. Because nobody can pray a prayer of you that will keep you from thinking what you just choose to keep thinking. See, we have choices in these things. It's the center of interest or activity. Pay particular attention to. It means whatever you pay particular attention to. I know we have to drive. You say, well, you just can't go around in a bubble with Jesus. No, but Jesus went around in a bubble of God. And He was a carpenter. So I think He also but pay particular attention to the Word of God and what it's saying to you. Because, see, the Word and the Spirit will agree. The Spirit is never going to take you where the Word says, mm-mm. You say, well, I just felt God. No, you didn't. Not if it didn't agree with the Word. You didn't feel God. You might have felt something. I'm not saying you don't feel anything. But the Word and the Spirit are going to agree. The life and ministry of Jesus. That's my main focus. Jesus, I want to be like You. I want to be like You. If you want to be like Jesus, it's not, do I want to be the best? I don't want to be the best anything. I really don't. I just want to be like Jesus. I think He was the best of everything. I think He was brilliant. Sharp. He had a ready answer for everyone who asked of Him. He always had a response. He never just thought, well, I don't know. You don't see Jesus, well, I don't know. He always knew. He always knew. I think there are a lot of scenes that He saw ahead of time. The Bible likes to describe Him seeing people that He hadn't seen. But He saw them in the Spirit. And when they showed up, He said, oh, I saw you when you were over there on the fig tree. And I go, how did you see me? You're here. When they didn't have photography or anything then. But see, in your mind, you can see places you've never been. You see it. You can see it. You can see yourself in places you've never been. You can see it. This is how you imagine all the trash. You do the same thing. It's just now you do it with God, something pure. That's the only difference. But you have to have the Word of God. The Word of God will lead you in the way you should go. The Word will lead you. He will lead you in the way you should go. Say, well, that sounds good. I just want to know, well, what am I supposed to be doing? The Word's going to tell you. You need to be sure you understand the difference between the covenants. And then I said this yesterday, in a prayer meeting yesterday, I was talking about this. God didn't deal with Noah and those people, or even Adam and Eve, the way we have under our covenant with Jesus. Under the law of Moses, when it was finally given, there were laws that were very strict, unlike Noah, his sons, Noah getting drunk. Remember, Noah got drunk. He was a man of God. He got Hooter Brown, drunk on Hooter Brown. He just got really drunk. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But He dealt with us, but then he made a covenant. A covenant. Do you know what a covenant is? A contract. A covenant is a contract. And God never breaks covenant. He never breaks mercy either. I love that. But he's a God of covenant. So after Jesus came, all the stuff of that old law was done away with. Do y'all understand? There are still some people today who don't believe that you should worship on Sunday. You should worship on Saturday because that was the Sabbath. And then there are many churches who call Sunday the Sabbath because this is how Jesus did it. No, he didn't. Jesus worshiped. It was from Friday night, about sunset, to sunrise Saturday morning. I mean, till sunset the next Saturday night, excuse me. From Friday night to Saturday night. That was the Sabbath under the law of Moses. The only problem is I'm not under the law of Moses, so it doesn't matter to me when I worship. The early church met from house to house daily. They were together all the time. They had strong relationships with each other. There was always somebody that could help and encourage somebody else. And some of them, Paul, when he went, he rebuked some of the things that they did. He said, who has bewitched you? You're all off track. So they lost their focus. They began to lose their focus. They weren't looking unto Jesus anymore. They began to get back into law. They began to make up laws about things. Webster Dictionary says, focus is a center of activity, attraction, or attention. It's a point of concentration, like a time when you really are concentrating on the Word of God. Like, God, what does this mean? I want you to open this up for me. And he'll lead you. Sometimes when we don't hold our focus, we get in a lot of trouble. Have y'all noticed that? Is that just me? You know, if you're hammering something and you lose your focus, it can go awry rather quickly, right? I was thinking of, you know, those little handheld blenders used to do, make cakes and stuff like that. And I'm thinking you're in there with the batter and the phone rings and you had left your cell phone in the other room. You go, oh, no. You don't turn it off. You just kind of lean it a little bit. You know where that batter's going to go? Foo. It's going to go everywhere. You're going to have a big mess, right? Isn't that what happens to us? We just lost our focus for a minute. We lost our focus. We weren't really concentrating like, I need to turn this off, actually, and not leave this thing running while I go to the other part of the house to retrieve my cell phone. But that's a silly example, but it is the truth. But we do that with the Word of God. All of a sudden, we're in the Word. We have a great time with the Lord that morning or that evening or whenever, all throughout the day. It can be any time. And all of a sudden, you get this phone call about something at work, and somebody's griping about something, gripe. The whole time you're on the phone, gripe. And you hang up and you go, man, wow. And you start thinking about everything they were griping about, and then you rehear that in your head again. Why are you wasting your time doing that? Say, whoa, that's not worth my thought processes. Exit, stage right. And you just exit out of that. See, nobody's making you continue to think about that. You're actually choosing that. As opposed to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in God. You can say, Jesus, I'm so glad heaven's not like that. I don't know how you stood it here. Thank you, God, for your grace to help me get through another day. And you begin to focus on all the benefits that you have in Jesus Christ. How good God has been to you. Hospitals are full today, but they're not full with you. See, there's just, you can always think of things to be grateful for if you really are focused on Jesus. You are never too old and you are never too young to share Jesus with people. Some people say, well, I don't know enough to be talking to anybody about Jesus. Do you know him? You just know him. You get to where you hear his voice. He talks to us. You can be in the car just praising him. I have the most awesome times in my car. And you just start praising him. You think about his goodness. You see if something happened. I mean, I was on my way to Sherman when one weekend, I looked over and somebody's car had blown up. Something had happened. The whole thing was on fire. And I thought, oh my God. And I started praying. I thought, I hope nobody was in that car when that happened. I was praying that whoever's car it was, they could get a call. I just started praying for them. I don't think it was an accident that I happened to be coming by when that happened. And then eventually some fire, because there was a traffic holdup and stuff like that for a while on both sides of the roads. And so, you know, until some help could come, whatever. And I saw some people over there trying to do something. I couldn't see it very clearly because of other trucks that had pulled up. But, I mean, we're like on a Texas highway. Nothing but woods. There was nothing but woods around us. So it's a bad time for something to happen, right? Anyway. They're just saying, you just never know what your prayers are doing when you're just obeying God. You just see something. See something. If you see something, that's God. There's a reason why you're going right past there. We take so many things for granted. We go, this is the way I always go to work. Except today I went to it this way. Or today I was stopped because of a traffic thing, maybe in traffic. Well, is there something you could pray about while you're there? Instead of looking at your watch every 2 minutes saying, I can't believe this is going on for me. What kind of day? God, I hate this. I hate driving. You know, and your whole spirit would just go, you know why? God doesn't inhabit your griping. He doesn't inhabit griping. This is why you'll feel so low for so long, is because you've griped for so long. You've complained for so long. Don't go to get your phone while your mixer is on. Keep your focus. Where's your head? Where's your head? See, your life flows out of what you just keep thinking. Your life will flow out of your thoughts. Does God have access to your thoughts? Is he able to do that? Is God able to tell you something and you know the difference between God and the devil's voice? Do you know the difference? Have you learned the difference? This is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for, y'all. And a lot of people, they have the baptism, but they're not utilizing those praying tongues enough. And God could talk to you about a whole bunch of things while you're praying in tongues. Because your mind is never going to pray the way God wanted you to. Because we're so influenced by the world. The praying in tongues was your safeguard for that. So that you could pray the perfect will of God. And there are people, they'll say a little prayer in the morning when they do, but they're not praying in tongues that day at all. That is the most foolish thing you can do with your life. It really is. It's a travesty. Because you would have had help all day long with stuff. And you can pray all throughout the day. All throughout the day. You could be on school break and go use the restroom or something. You can be praying in tongues. You can be praying in tongues. You can. I mean, people are saying all kind of things in those places anyway. Pray in tongues, they won't know what you're saying. They won't even care, usually. Yeah, look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of my heart? All? Really, God, you want all my heart? Seriously? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now listen to this next sentence. And lean not on your own understanding. Now why would he tell us that? Because there's so much we don't understand. It's a foolish thing to only go by what you understand, just personally. What you understand, that's foolish. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, as opposed to lean not on your own understanding. And in other words, You don't want to lean on your own understanding, because when you do that, you are not trusting God with your heart. You're either doing one or the other. In all your ways, in all my ways, in all my doing and going and getting, seeing and hearing, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't act like he's not there. And he will. Do y'all understand? When God says he will do something, that's a promise. You can write that down. This is a promise of God to me. He will direct your paths. Sometimes you don't know what to do. you're not sure how much money to spend on a car, the next car, whatever. You don't know how much you need to be saving. Different things. Are you looking to go, I like both these cars, God, but I'm not sure which one. Because one of them could be great and the other one could be a lemon, right? But if you acknowledge, like my last car, I prayed over that for 2 years before I got it. And the day I saw it, I got so excited, which is so unlike me, so funny. I was almost giddy about a car. And Hannah said, Mama, this is your car. You need to buy this car. This is your next car. I said, I know. And she said, well, are you fixing to get it? And I said, no, absolutely not. She said, why? I said, God didn't help me do that. He just showed me the car. So 2 years later, we go back to the dealership. It was like 2 years later. And they had one, just like the one I had seen that day. All except now it was going for, it was right at the very end of COVID when everything had been, Slugville. And I got it for the car under it. So I got the top of the line Subaru thing that has all the bells and whistles, all the stuff. And I've even got off-road tires on it now because I'm traveling so much. And I don't know. Said if I had to go off the road, I want somebody to be happy about it. On my joy rower off the ride or snow or whatever, I wanted something with really good heavy traction. And we just walked in and we got it. It's just like thousands off. And so I just praise God for things like that. But if you'll listen to God, because you see it and you want it doesn't mean it's the right time. Timing is everything. People say, well, why didn't God send Jesus a lot sooner? Because God had to find prophets who would prophesy the coming of Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Everything about Jesus had to be spoken first. God always speaks first. And then you'll have a word. And then he had instructions. And then. And so I don't know how long it took him to find a Mary. How long does it take God to find somebody who will obey him even when it looks crazy? Think about that. See, because God can't do anything without people. God doesn't move apart from people. And I grew up in this, and almost all the major denominations, they have this thing of the sovereignty of God. Well, nobody really knows what God wants. That's not true. The Word tells you exactly what God wants, what he expects. Well, you never know if it's God's will to heal or not. Then you can't pray in faith. You'll never pray in faith thinking that way. And the reality is, it's always God's will to heal. And I preached this before. If it wasn't God's will to heal everybody, then Jesus did a really rotten job of representing God because he healed everybody who came to him for healing. The only people that he, and it wasn't that he wouldn't heal them, he couldn't because of their unbelief. He saw people in his own hometown where he grew up. They were the worst ones. Familiarity breeds contempt. You've heard that expression? And so when you're real familiar with somebody you think, you know, then you think, well, we have this person coming, we have to do this, that. Then it's like, no, because Jesus showed up. God on foot showed up, and it was really bad. So we have to remember these things. But you've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything, your being, your coming, your going, your doing, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, say, God, what would you want me to do? God, is this you? I have an idea, but God, I'm not sure. I want to know that it's you. I don't want just an idea. I just don't want a thing that we do. I only want what's really you. And the timing of stuff is everything. Matthew 14:22. Let's go to Matthew. There's just a couple of verses here. Matthew 14. And this is after Jesus had fed the multitudes, the 5 loaves, 2 fish. In verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Wasn't that smart? Now when evening came, He was alone there. Can you imagine all the times he was just out in the middle of nowhere by himself? Whatever happened to lions and tigers and bears? Oh my, right? Think about that. He'd just go up. I mean, people didn't travel by themselves back in that time period. There were thieves and robbers along the road. You didn't just go off by yourself somewhere. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. He had told his disciples to go to the other side. You know, this is, I'll meet you there, whatever. And they were being tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch, that's between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. I just think that's fantastic. I just thought it was just hitting me so hard. How awesome that is that they're in this boat. And here comes Jesus, and he's just walking on the sea. You know, like it's just a dirt road. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were troubled. They go, it's a ghost. They were scared out of their wits, y'all. They were terrified. I think it's fantastic. Oh, they said, it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. You have to understand, it's a torrential downpour, the wind. They've been rowing all night long. I mean, some of these stories, if you actually put yourself there, it's hard to even imagine, you know? And it's just so funny to me. It's just really funny to me this morning. I don't know why. But it says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, that was a command. He's giving them a command. If somebody gave you a command when you're scared out of your wits, do not be afraid. Be of good cheer. What would you say? Well, we might not can repeat it. Can you imagine? I mean, some of these things in the Bible, to me, are hilarious. When you read the Bible, read it like you're there. You know, I put myself in those situations. And so, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, like they don't know his voice, right? Command me to come to you. Well, Jesus didn't have anything he could say except come. He said, if it's you, Jesus said, well, it is me. Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to the Jesus. But when he saw, what happened? At first, his focus was Jesus. If it's you, Lord, command me. In other words, he was having an interaction there. And all of a sudden, he starts looking around at what he actually stepped off into. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now all of a sudden, he's got another focus shift. Right? Isn't this what happens to people? You're all focused. Something comes up in the middle of it. You've lost your focus completely. And you go, Lord, you know. And of course, God is good. What do you do? Got him right up. Your focus is everything. What do you focus on? Looking unto Jesus. Are you looking to, can we hold? You see, when you focus, you got to hold it. You got to maintain the focus. You have to maintain the focus. And this is where a lot of people, they just lose heart. They just lose their focus. Yeah. So we have to remember that the Jesus is the author. He's the finisher of our faith. You can't move in faith apart from your focus being on Jesus. You really can't. You're not going to move in faith. Now, look in Galatians. I'm in Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Paul had in this thing, they had lost their focus. It was all about Jesus, and now they're back to law. Now they reverted back to the law of Moses, the old life. And they're trying to self-justify. They're trying to justify themselves. You can't blend the law with your new covenant, or you won't walk in your new covenant. You can't do it. And that's why he said, it's nothing. That was under the law of Moses. We have a new and better covenant since Jesus. You don't go by all that stuff anymore. You don't go by those laws, all those ordinances. You can't taste this. You can't touch that. You can't do that. Can't do that. No. And God, that was to show them what sin was to God. That they can't live, they can't obey God without God. You have to have Jesus. This is why Jesus came. Y'all stand up, please. We've got to have Jesus. But you know, you can have Jesus and not live like it. You can have Jesus. He can be in a store with you. He's with you everywhere you go. He says, I'm with you whithersoever thou goest. I am with you wherever you go. Are you aware of it? There may be somebody in that store God wants. We're so busy with our stuff, our things we need to do, our do list. Is there somebody in the store? Is there somebody you see? And God says, I wish you'd go over there and pray for that person. Would you do it? These are kinds of things that are supposed to be happening to us all the time as believers. I want our eyes to be more open, looking unto Jesus. Let your eyes be open, but when your eyes are open, watch where your head is turned, because you're going to go in the direction of your head. Wherever you keep looking, whatever you keep focusing on, you'll have more of that. If you have pain in your body and that's your focus, day every day, that's your focus, you're playing your whole life around that, it's going to stay your focus. You can even get in a habit of it, where that's the first thing you think in the morning. It's the last thing you think when you go to bed. You can, these are habits that we can form that are not very beneficial. Jesus wants to be our focus, y'all. I want to thank you today for truth. Oh, let your truth penetrate our heart. And God, when we mess up, that we can laugh at it. Just like we laughed about Peter. He's looking at God on foot, and he was afraid. We have God who lives in us. We have the Spirit of God who will pray through us. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Are we believers? Believers are people who believe Jesus. Not just that he came. The devils know that. The devils know he died. The devils know he's not here anymore. They know he's at the right hand of God. So you have to have no more than that for salvation. Even the demons believe and tremble. Jesus said, be a believer. And when you begin to believe, you will begin to grow in that. But you start with something that's maybe been troubling you. You say, you know what, I'm going to lick that thing. That thing is not running my life anymore. It's causing problems with me. Because your things that are not of God, they can cause problems in your finances. They can cause problems in your marriage, in your relationships. They'll cause problems for you. We've got to give God what he asks to work with. This is how he does it. He doesn't do it another way. He does it like this. Amen. God, we love you today. We're your people. Thank you, God, for people who want to know the truth. Because when we get that truth down in us, then we can walk in greater freedom. And that brings you great joy. You want us to walk in more freedom. Freedom to be like you. Freedom to do the things that you do. Freedom to love the way you love. Care about people the way you care. Enough to do it. Enough to say it. Enough to speak the truth in love. And that we love you more than we love anybody else. This is what you've called us to. This is what it is to be a Christian. And to spread this good news. You can be free. You can be free your head. You can control your own head. You don't have a bridle and bit in your mouth. God didn't do that to you like we would a horse. He gave you the freedom to choose. Choose wisely. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Amen. David.
What is it that you believe? Is there evidence of what you believe? What does it reveal? What are you saying? What are you doing? Living a Jesus life is believing what he says and doing what he does. The Word of God will reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth. He will teach you all things. Seek the truth for yourself. Discover for yourself what you believe.
Amen. Well, God did it again today. Here it was. Anybody got a prayer need before we go? Okay. That must be wonderful. All right. I love y'all. Y'all have a wonderful, blessed day.